You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by Harrison Fagan. Harrison, you're ending this season on an almost as impressive streak as the Lakers are currently on right now. They won their last game of the season. They have a winning streak going. You have been on this show now, what, three times in a row, four or five times in a row?
It's been longer than that. I have a pretty decent streak going. Like, I'd have to go back and check the
tape. You actually probably have a longer streak than I do.
I definitely do, because I filled in for you on Monday.
Yeah, a couple straight Mondays that I missed. So I'm
yeah. So no, I mean my streak is killing your streak. Honestly, I think over the last like month I've been on the show more than you.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves. I don't think that's quite true.
I think that's accurate.
I don't think that's quite true. All right. Anyway, what Harrison and I are going to do, we're going to tie a bow on this season. We are going to have a little bit of fun on our way out. We're going to think of our favorite moments from throughout the year. We are going to look back on what was, I would say, a pretty promising Lakers season, right? I mean, all things considered, Lakers injuries and relying on young guys.
This is the last non-playoff Lakers season for a while.
I think that we're pretty safe in saying that. So we'll see where this podcast takes us. As always, make sure you guys are following the show on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, where Harrison writes, Lakers Outsiders, where I write. You can follow Harrison on Twitter at I am so glad the season is over. You can follow me on Twitter at Anthony Irwin LA. All right, so let's get into this. The Lakers finished with 35 wins. I think I was at about 33. You were in the 20s, I believe.
I was in the 20s. You definitely came closer than me. I don't remember what our exact totals were, but I was more off than you were. I was like around 25, I think, 25 or 26.
And yet I'm seen as negative Nancy on this thing.
Well, it's because when I give reasons to be negative, like I actually have like logic and stuff behind it, whereas you just kind of like react with this fire in your gut of like, there's this thing that I don't like. And so, you know, like Jeannie Buss must be incompetent, or Rob Pelinka has to be terrible at his job, or the Lakers are just overall the worst run organization in the league. And man, I hope nobody plays this clip out of context at some point. But that's my impression of Anthony, like when he's like, oh, the Lakers signed Andre Ingram. Well, it means that their scouting department isn't scouring the globe for actual talent. Or like, you know, like the Lakers are playing Alex Caruso. Well, I get like, and he's been pretty good. Well, I guess like they really should have tried to get a better veteran point guard in free agency. Like, you take these negative takes just for the sake of being negative, whereas mine are usually like people can tell that I'm genuine about it. Whereas you're just genuinely stupid.
All right, this was the last Locked On Lakers ever. All right, so I feel like I have to respond to that. Like, it was so far to the nth degree that I have to respond to that.
I'm sorry. I've been holding it in all season. There are going to be people fist pumping in their cars at me saying that tomorrow.
And they're all going to be wrong. Look, the stuff about, like, Pelinka and Magic, like, that's just factual. They didn't sign anybody outside of like Gary Payton II. They didn't sign anybody outside of either Pelinka's client base or the Lakers organization, including the defenders, right? Like, that's, or the South Bay Lakers.
But that being true doesn't make them bad decisions.
No, they weren't. I don't think they made, like, Gary
Payton. I mean, GP2, like, we could say, like, hey, that was kind of questionable. He played really, really well tonight in the Lakers' final game of the season. But, like, I think it was Krangis had some stats the other day. Like, he was, like, literally the worst NBA player by points per play, like, in the entire league, or, like, second worst.
Yeah. And look, I think it's an organization still finding their way. Like, it's they're I don't think it's that far a stretch to say that this is an organization in, like, the second year of its existence in terms of the people who are actually in charge. Jeannie Buss
that's literally true, right?
And so, you know, there are going to be bumps in the road early on. And like I said to start the show, all things considered, when you take into consideration injuries, questionable decisions from Luke Walton's standpoint in terms of not starting Julius Randle right away, relying on young people, whether it was Lonzo or Ingram or Kuzma or Josh Hart, like we talked about, the organizational changeover that we witnessed, all things included, the Lakers winding up with 35 wins is almost indisputably a win for the organization.
Yeah, that's huge, especially when you're considering how many injuries they had.
It's crazy. I mean, and
how bad the offense was compared to what it was expected to be. Like, if they would have just shot like free throws at a decent rate, that's a couple more wins. Like, their net rating was only negative 1.6. Like, that means that they were losing per 100 possessions by about 1.6 points. That's not good, but it's not bad.
If you look at the Western Conference, the Lakers have the best net rating out of all of the. You know, it's by far the best net rating of all of the non-playoff teams outside of like Denver, right? Because Denver was essentially a playoff team until tonight.
Yeah, until Jamal Murray got crying Jordan again.
Oh man, that was. I can't lie. I took a lot of enjoyment in watching that happen. We're gonna come back. We're gonna take a quick second here. We're gonna come back and keep talking about this. Just kind of rapid reactions to this Lakers season. We'll get into the Lonzo stuff. We'll get into some of the Brandon Ingram and the Kuzma and the Josh Hart stuff. And maybe if we get to it, we'll look ahead to the offseason that might be. All of that here in a bit. So let's start with Lonzo, right? Because I feel like that is really where we have to start with all of Lakers analysis moving forward.
That's fair.
His Lakers season, the Lakers season, all of it is over at this point. If you had to grade him, you know, whether if it's an A, B, C, D, or E, or an F rating, or a 1 through 10, what kind of grade would you give Lonzo Ball immediately after the season ends?
Well, considering he hasn't played in like a week, this doesn't require as much thought as it would, you know, had he played tonight, but I think, and then the other thing is, you also just like didn't warn me this question was coming in any way. So I'm verbally filibustering until I can decide where I want to go with this rating. So I'm just going to read the encyclopedia right now. And
do you want me to go? I can go, and then you
no,
can
think I, about I, you know, I'll give him, I'll give Lonzo, I'm going to give him a C+ because okay. I think he was obviously impactful. The shot was like, that's a big negative. Like C+, I'm giving like that's. You know, right where what I mean by that is slightly he's about right where I expected him to be, maybe a little bit ahead.
Uh-huh.
Like A+ would be way ahead, all of that stuff. Like C is about average where I expected him to be. And so I think he was about as good as I expected him to be overall. But it just wasn't in the way that I expected him to be good, if that makes sense. I think I thought he was a little bit more of his value was going to come offensively. And I think like. More of it came defensively this year, which I think is a promising sign because if he's already a plus defender as a rookie and like honestly, even if his shot doesn't come around and he just starts to learn like the NBA game a little bit better and starts to maybe get a little bit better at finishing in traffic or something like that, or just starts making more spot up threes, like he just needs to make a couple small adjustments and all of a sudden he's one of the best players in the league.
Those small adjustments are tough to make. Learning how to shoot is not easy, but
I'm not even aside from that. Like there are littler things like just finishing in the lane better, like little nuances and stuff to that, like that he can do just making some free throws, like that kind of thing.
Again, not easy tweaks, right? Like not easy.
Hashtag Lonzo effect BBB till I die.
I would agree with your C+ analysis, maybe as high as a B-, though. No, you know what?
C+. People are still going to say that yours was more negative.
See, either a C or a C+, because I, you know, missing as many games as he missed is kind of tough to overlook. The shooting inconsistency, like it's just, I am of the opinion having taught people how to shoot, like I used to give private lessons on how to shoot.
Wow. Coach Anthony. All right. Just feels insecure because we're calling Pete Coach on the podcast.
Yeah, that's it.
But I'm just letting him fly tonight. OK, this is my Kobe farewell tour right now. So I'm just going to.
That's a lot of information that you're just throwing out there. But the having taught people how to shoot, it's not easy to learn that stuff. It's really not. And like this idea
teacher. I don't know.
If he just learns how to shoot, if he just does this, there are a ton of players in the history of the NBA who didn't.
My analysis literally said, aside from learning how to shoot.
Yeah. Well, I won't say I take offense, but I always kind of react pretty adamantly, pretty fervently when I hear people say like, oh yeah, all they need to do is add a shot. No, it's not that easy. Adding a shot is not easy in the NBA. But
can we really, sorry, go ahead and finish your point.
Well, so I would say though, I would agree for the most part with this, you know, with the C+ rating on Lonzo. And the other thing to take into account here is what he was working against. Like, look, Donovan Mitchell is a tremendous talent, and he's going to be really good for a really long time in the NBA. But he had no adversity to deal with. Nobody cares about the Utah Jazz. Sorry, David. But, like, nobody cares about, like, some rookie that they drafted and you know, the feel-good story that Donovan Mitchell was, right? And everything that he dealt with this year, like, what adversity did he ever deal with this year? Whereas, like, Lonzo Ball...
Somebody called Ben Simmons a true rookie, and he felt the need to correct that, even though he's not hashtag actually mad.
And so, like, you know, you have a guy who, you know, went through a nice cushy season and succeeded in that cushy season to the best degree that you would have hoped for if you're a fan of the Utah Jazz. But, like, Lonzo had people hating him before he even started playing because of his dad, because he's a Laker, because all of the because he shoots funny, whatever it is, like because of the Big Baller brand. Like, he went against all that stuff and still, in my opinion, had a fairly successful rookie season and has given Laker fans a lot to look forward to. And, you know, in that regard, I think that's about all you could have hoped for this year, realistically speaking, right? There are better case scenarios, but in terms of what fans should have been looking forward to or hoping for, I think Lonzo lived up to that aspect of the hype.
Yeah, I agree.
The fact that he never went on like a Twitter tirade and said like, shut up, all of you who are yelling about my dad, like that in and of itself.
No, he was just having fun. Yeah. Honestly.
Yeah.
Like he looked like he was having fun this year. That also the hashtag, like the real Ingram for Andre Ingram from Lonzo Ball last night killed me. I was sitting alone in my apartment dying at that.
Let's move on to the next. I think the next most important aspect of the Lakers' future, not talking about cap space, but Brandon Ingram, if we were to rate his season, if we were to grade his season, just immediately. And look, we'll have shows dedicated to these guys where we actually sit down and fully contextualize everything. But I think it's important to also get rapid reaction to the stuff that we saw this year. So now that I've kind of filibustered and given you time to kind of think of this in ways that I didn't do that with Lonzo Ball, how do you feel about what you saw from Brandon Ingram? You have a couple minutes here, and then we'll get back to the conversation here in a bit. No, I meant like you have.
Oh,
you
that, not for, a minute. That was a very poor like.
Talk for a couple minutes.
I thought you were leading me into a minute. I'm sorry, but we're off our game. It's the last game. I'm so out of it.
One, like, two, three, so, Hawaii.
Ingram, yeah, seriously. And you're going on vacation next week. I'm not. Ingram was an A to me, I would say, because he thoroughly exceeded even my like expect. Like, I thought he would improve this year just by virtue of being not actively bad. But he was good and like really good. And like what I saw from him on the defensive end, the growth that I saw from him as an offensive player, like becoming a nearly 40% 3-point shooter. I didn't see that coming this year. No. You can reasonably hope for league average. Mm-hmm. Like maybe he just gets some confidence back and he starts shooting kind of close to the way he was in college. And he like you just you can't leave him open, but he's not a guy that you have to like rush off of the line. But he was good from distance, and he was really good at finishing in the lane. He started to improve as a pick and roll reader as far as like passing out of those. He got better as a facilitator overall. He got better in transition. Like, I really, really liked what I saw from Ingram this year.
I have my thoughts on Brandon Ingram, and I will give them here in a second when we take an actual break.
You're not supposed to say break.
When we take an actual minute to pay some bills. All right, so I would give Brandon Ingram an A+ if not for the games missed stuff, right? I think he played only 59 games this year. That's not great.
I guess, yeah, that part of it isn't great. Maybe you ding him a little bit for that. I don't, because I don't believe in, like, you know, like devaluing people because of their injuries. But you clearly hate Brandon Ingram, as evidenced by your takes on him earlier in the season.
I just said, if not, I still would give him like a solid B+, A-, but it's hard for me to overlook missing, 23 games over the course of an NBA season. That's a quarter of the year, right? And that stuff matters. And so, look, a lot of it was freak injury, and that, you know, if somebody was to offer up their grade and their grade was higher than mine, and they said it was Justice Winslow kneeing him in the crotch or a concussion that he had late in the year, and the fact that the Lakers were insanely conservative on in terms of injuries to the young core this year, then I would be fine with that. I'm not saying that these grades are hard lined, and like I said earlier, we're going to come back to these grades and we're going to come back to this analysis, and maybe with a couple days or a week or so of time off to really fully contextualize what we saw from these guys, that'll change. But missing that amount of games does matter. In terms of everything that you said, though, he improved in ways that I never would have predicted, obviously, given my stance and prediction on him heading into this year. So
that was another one of those hot take Anthony moments.
Oh, get out of here. You were dubious heading into this season, too. I just
dubious, but not is Brandon Ingram a helpful NBA player or is he an NBA player?
No, I asked. Well, I asked that at points last year when he wasn't an NBA player. I headed into this season. My question, which y'all can laugh at if you want, which is fine. I'll take my hits for it because I was too low on Ingram.
Let's dig up the old takes.
But I asked if he could show an NBA skill, and he showed about four of them. So I'll take my L on that one, and I'll take it happily. Like that's the. I won't get into a full-on rant about, you know, analyzing young NBA players because I think a lot of people do it stupidly. But I was hoping every time I said stuff about what I wanted to see from Brandon Ingram and all young NBA players who I'm a little lower on than other people is that I hope I'm wrong. I hope they prove me wrong, and Ingram did. And for that, he deserves a ton of credit, and I can't wait to see what he becomes moving forward. All right, the next person I think on the list, and we have two more names here, and then we'll send everybody off into the off season before we get into exit interviews tomorrow and tomorrow's show. But the next name on this list I think that we have to bring up is Julius Randle. Do you think he showed enough that the Lakers will prioritize him in an off season as he heads into restricted free agency?
No. Because he was never going to be able to do enough for that because they were always going to chase LeBron and Paul George.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair to a certain extent. Although I do think it depends on how stubborn Magic Johnson is, really, right? Because I've heard a couple people talk about, you know, a weird meeting that Julius Randle and Magic Johnson had that didn't go as well as Johnson hoped. And for that, they had kind of written off Randle, and that had a lot to do with his weird minutes early. Y'all can run with that if you want. But in my opinion, over the course of the season, he's the only Laker to play 82 games, I believe. He did that while playing an insanely tough brand of basketball, both offensively and defensively, seeking out contact on offense, being able to be switchable on defense, and it's at times guarding the rim on defense. To me, he showed me more than any other Laker across the entire roster this year. And for that, I think, in my opinion, and again, we'll come back to all this stuff as the offseason gets going. We'll probably have Lakers-specific shows.
Yeah, I would imagine that will be a thing that we do.
But for right now, I would say that Randall has showed me enough, and I've said this a few times over the course of the season, but he showed me enough that he has to be a priority for the Lakers to bring back next season.
I just don't think he's not going to be. They want to chase LeBron and Paul George. He will, and probably always was their priority after those guys. And he definitely is now, if he wasn't before. But I think that they're going to take their shots on those guys, and I think that that's totally defensible. But I agree with what you said. Everything about Randall's growth, all of that. I would also give him an A+ because he showed way more this season than I thought he would. Like in a contract year when the Lakers had other fours that they were going to try and develop, like he forced his way into the lineup.
He in a way forced Larry Nance Jr. out of LA.
Yeah. And like that's impressive, especially with all of the kind of cards stacked against him. And so I can't say enough things about Julius Randle. Luke Walton made sure to praise him after the game for playing in all 82 games. Their relationship has seemed to drastically improve mm-hmm. as the season went on. And so, you know, like that's really good. And he's been the Lakers' best player this year. But I also just still don't think that means that he's for sure coming back.
God, I've reached that point. I don't know if I would go so far as to say devastated, but I would be legitimately bummed. Like you guys,
even if the Lakers got LeBron and Paul George,
you guys. Oh, well, that makes it a little different.
That's what I'm saying,
right? So,
that situation, I think Randall's coming back.
Even then, I think he fits really well along those guys.
Well, yeah, but it's just hard to make that cap work. They can do it, but it's hard. It makes it a lot harder.
We'll talk about their off-season stuff and how we think their ideal off-season goes. We'll do that as we get into the off-season. Last couple points before we send everybody off into the night that is the NBA off-season. And again, thank you guys for listening. We have three more things to talk about. I want to talk about Kyle Kuzma, the rest of the young Lakers, and then we'll go over some of our favorite moments of the Locked On Lakers and the Lakers season. Let's start with Kyle Kuzma, though, really quickly. A+, right?
I'm just going to say, apparently not an A+ for ball movement, because this is the second time that I've heard him roasted in the Lakers locker room during a scrum for it. Somebody asked Caruso why the game opened up for everyone tonight, and Josh Hart yelled in the background, Kuz wasn't in it. So that's what I'm saying. He's already the Kobe successor. Guys already don't want to play with him. They're better. The ball moves better. You know, all that stuff.
I hope you guys isolate that noise right there from Harrison. That sound bite there from Harrison. That Kuzma is the next Kobe Bryant because nobody wants to play with him.
Just I'm just like firing off some cold takes exposed tonight. But no, like Kuzma, again, another guy that drastically exceeded even my I had pretty meager expectations for him going into the year. Honestly, I thought he was going to spend time in the G League, and I will cop to that was a terrible take.
Yeah, and that was almost as bad as my Ingram stuff.
No, not even close. And
yeah, thinking Kyle Kuzma was going to play in the G League.
He was the 27th pick.
Sure, but in terms of
Ingram was the number 2 pick, and you were asking if he was an NBA player. Your take is objectively worse than my take.
Indefensible. You're talking about a take that I had midway through last season. You had that take like after Summer League.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Because he was the 27th overall pick.
Yeah, well, you wound up being way more wrong. So,
I don't know if that's true.
All right, but A++++ for Kyle Kuzma this year.
Yeah, the Mamba successor. I'm just going to keep saying it because I know it makes you mad.
It does. I have
wine. Like Anthony grits his teeth every single time I say it.
I have wine right here next to me, and it is actually boiling from like the heat coming off. All right, so I would agree. There's nothing that I really need to add about Kyle Kuzma. In terms of the rest of the young Lakers, Zubats disappoints. I think Josh Hart.
Most notable thing of Zubats this year and tonight was Josh Hart wore one of Larry Nance Jr.'s old shirts to his press scrum of Larry Nance Jr. holding a little small child of Ivica Zubats' hand as they walk through like some, I guess, empty field, implying that he is his father. This has been Harrison describes a picture in an audio format.
That's pretty adorable. I would say, though, that Zubats kind of disappoints. I wish I would have seen more from Thomas Bryant. I think Josh Hart greatly outperforms expectations this year. And beyond that, like Tyler
30 Ennis, points tonight. Yeah. Like, that's crazy.
He didn't. I don't think he broke D'Angelo's record. I don't think that happened.
No, I was hoping he would break the record for threes, but like honestly, the NBA record for threes, because that would have been the perfect way for the season to end.
That'd have been great.
But yeah, I mean, like if he broke D'Angelo's record, that would have been just incredible, because you would, like, the Lakers would have won tonight. Like, they end the season with 35 wins when everybody thought it was worse, and you'd be crying on the air. Anthony just spit his wine out.
Crying on the air is a tad strong. All right.
Are you drinking the wine in like a vino Kobe tribute to Kyle Kuzma?
I am. I age like wine, just like Kobe says he did, except after the Achilles tear.
Except the opposite of that.
He aged like milk. All right. So let's go through our favorite moments. I'll start, unless you have a moment off the top of your head. But my favorite moment this year was early on, and John Wall had predicted pain and suffering for the Lakers and Lonzo Ball, because LaVar Ball ran his mouth, and it did not go that way. And we spent an entire first segment, and so, like, by extension of this, all of our segments that we just laughed at people, those were my favorite moments of the season. That I thoroughly enjoy laughing. I just think if you're going to do this, and you're going to do this on daily, you have to have as much fun as you possibly can just to remain sane. So I thoroughly enjoyed laughing at John Wall, at Jamal Murray. I laughed at Jamal Murray again tonight because him and his bum ass Nuggets didn't make the playoffs. I thoroughly enjoyed that stuff. So that's what I'm going to look back on as my favorite moments of this season.
So can we have a couple? Like, yeah, are we going to go back and forth? I think one of them was the accidental discovery of both the anonymous source and the accidental discovery of nihilistic Rob Pelinka that just kind of took shape randomly on air.
As they
but
happened.
Those were two of my favorites.
Yeah, those were great. And then, look, I'm going to get sappy here, but last night or in yesterday's show, I spent some time, or Harrison and I spent some time, about talking about dream chasing in regards to Andre Ingram and making all that happen. And we are doing this right now. We are chasing a dream right now. And so
we are in the G League of content creation.
We are. And
on some level.
We're
just not ESPN. I feel like we can cop to that.
Or
we're not there yet.
We're not even Fox Sports. Like, we got to do better. We're going to get better. But to those of you listening right now, thank you for your guys' daily support of this show. We literally could not do this without you, and I cannot thank you enough for that. For me personally, sending shout outs across the interwebs, thank you to my wife Jen for being a freaking superstar. Thank you to my parents and my family. Thank you to Harrison for being the superstar you are. I am truly blessed being able to do this for a living, really. And I cannot thank you guys enough for all of the support that we have gotten, whether it's been when we were Team Tank, whether we were Lakers Lounge or Lakers Late Night or Locked On Lakers, whatever it is. Those of you who have been here from day one, and those of you who continue to join us right now, it's like I say all the time on Twitter, y'all remain the bestest. You guys are incredible.
I like, just to briefly piggyback on top of that, there's nobody in my personal life that I want to thank. I also, but like, in all seriousness, Anthony, like, there's nobody that I would rather chase this dream with until we get our call ups, whenever that may be. I'm just incredibly grateful to everyone that listens to this podcast, everybody that reads my work, whether it's on my Patreon, whether it's on Lakers Nation, wherever it has been over the last couple of years. Like, I really, really appreciate you guys. I appreciate you listening to this show. I appreciate you giving us iTunes review questions that we don't answer in today's show, even though we kind of said we would. We will do that tomorrow. Mm-hmm. That's you know, that one's on us, our bad. And then also just like a special shout out to the people that have been Patreon supporters for me. It requires a financial sacrifice and a little bit of gambling, which Anthony can also attest to, not gambling, like literally gambling, but gambling on yourself to try and do this in this industry. And the people that support the people that support you, like, and allow us to continue to do the work that we do and appreciate the work that we do. Like, I could not have more gratitude for all of you. It's just the support that we've received this year for this show, for our writing, has just been incredible. And I am like, I've met so many cool people this year that have reached out to me on Twitter or via email or via Patreon, whatever it may be. And I just like, again, I could not be more thankful. It's like, it's a bittersweet moment to have this season ending because this has obviously been the most fun to cover season, since I've been covering the Lakers easily. Yeah. But you know, it's a grind. It's going to be nice to get a break a little bit, but within a week I am going to be stir crazy and wishing that basketball was back.
Last but absolutely not least, shouts to David Locke.
Yes.
The podfather. He reached out to us a couple of years ago and asked if we wanted to do this on a daily thing. And we made
like
a commitment.
After we figured out that he hadn't, in fact, made a mistake and meant to email like the Kamenetsky brothers or something.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool that he wanted us to be his Lakers voice. And like some would argue he made a mistake with Anthony, but that's OK. Like,
even I would argue.
We've done our best.
But shouts to I can't thank you guys enough. So as always, make sure you guys are following the show on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, where Harrison writes, Lakers Outsiders, where I write. You can follow Harrison on Twitter at HMFagan. You can follow me on Twitter at Anthony Irwin LA. Thank you to the sponsors. Thank you to all of those platforms, to putting our show on your guys' platform. We will we'll be back at it again tomorrow. And we're gonna talk about exit interviews, and we're gonna send everybody off into the off season officially. And then after that, I'm heading out to Hawaii. So you guys are stuck with Harrison for a bit.
I might have some pretty good guests lined up. I don't want to tip anything. I don't want to spoil anything. I think you guys are gonna like the co-hosts that I get a lot more than Anthony. And
I hope so. Because every time you take a break, like I say, okay, yeah, I'll put it, and now I'll get Matt, I'll get Pete, I'll get whatever. And then every time I put you in charge of the show, it's that like dweeb Jared. So.
I'm just – hey, first of all, how dare you about our not intern, Jared Eprom, and my sports son. And second of all, like, Jared is there in person a lot of the days that you ask me on short notice, like, can I not record? Him and I have good chemistry. I feel like you guys can let me know if you disagree. But I enjoy having somebody in person on the show that I have a good dynamic with, and that's what I want. Like, Anthony's all about, like, oh, let me just get, like, as much star power as possible. But I'm like, you know what? I want genuine connections that I have with people, and most people that are talented and I, like, don't get along. So, you know, other than me and Jared. And so, like – I'm going to bring Jared on, and I'm going to try and boost his career because I'm a good person who doesn't want to climb others to the top. I want to bring others up with me, unlike you, Anthony.
Uh-huh. Sure. That's it. We know how
who knows? One of the two.
We know how stardom works in LA. We know how the market works with regards to that. But sure, yeah, go ahead and
I'm just saying, like, when Jared is writing at ESPN in like 10 years, like, and you're asking him for a job, he's gonna remember who called him the little podcast dweeb and who brought him on the show and gave him that opportunity.
All right, y'all. Have a good one. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Much love, everybody. Thanks for an incredible Lakers season. We'll be back at it again tomorrow.